こんにちは。
こんにちは。
バイリンガルニュースでは日本語と英語でニュースを紹介しています。その後にマイケルは英語で、私は日本語で、バイリンガル会話形式でコメントしていきます。文字起こしのテキストや各エピソードごとの宿題はバイリンガルニュース公式アプリをチェックしてみてください。バイリンガルニュース .jp 公式サイトにてまたまた新しい商品追加されています。今マイケルが私に見せてくれてるけどみんなは見れないんだけど、これじゃ
Can you see it?
猫星人シミュレーション T シャツ、めっちゃかっこいい、黒だよね、黒い T シャツ、
うん、
出ていますので、ぜひ皆さんチェックしてみてください。メンバー、B のメンバーシップのメンバーの方は、何パーセントオフだっけ、
15%
オフ、そうだ、もともと全商品 15% オフで、新商品にも適用されるのでぜひチェックしてみてください。1個目、ソニーワールドフォトグラフィーアワードにて疑似記憶電気技師と題された作品がクリエイティブ部門で最優秀作品に選ばれましたが、作品を提出したボリス・エルダグセン氏が実は写真ではなく AI に生成させた画像であることを明らかにした上で賞を辞退していました。エルダグセン氏は今回の動機について BBC の取材に対し、アワードを試すため、そして写真業界の今後について議論を提起するためであると語りました。アワードの広報担当者によると、受賞者を発表する前にエルダグセン氏とのやり取りによって AI 作品であることは認知しており、その上で最優秀者作品に選んだとしています。
At the Sony World Photography Awards, a work titled Pseudomnesia, The Electrician, was selected as the best work in the creative category. However, the artist who submitted it, Boris Eldagson, declined the award, revealing that it was not a real photograph, but actually an AI-generated image. He then explained to the BBC that he did it to test the awards and to provoke discussion about the future of photography.According to a spokesperson for the award, the judges were already aware that it was AI generated and still chose it as the best work.
そう、これはその、already aware っていうのは、まあ、エルダグ選手から直接言われてたから知ってたっていうことであって、その写真を見てすぐに分かったかっていうのは定かではないんだけど、
うん、
いや、あの、面白い白黒写真だよね。セピアっぽいっていうか、昔の写真みたいに見える。あの、女性の胸元から上、顔が写っていて、その女性の肩をもう一人の女性が背後から両手でそっと触れているみたいな。あの、本当に写真であったなら確かに良い写真なんだけど、よく見るとやっぱ AI っぽさはあるよね。指がちょっと変だし、まず。
Yeah. I didn't notice the hands too much, but I should have looked. That's always where you should look, I suppose.
そうそう。まず最初に、そう、指がやっぱちょっと変なのと、後ろの女性の口元、あごら辺の輪郭がぼやけているっていうか、普通に写真撮ってこういうふうにはぼやけないよねっていう、まあちょっと、言われてみれば AI っぽさっていうのはしっかりあるんだけど、まあ、今回は別にそういうそこはそんなに重要ではないというか、
Well, there are many artifacts that can appear in photography, and in particular very old photography is the exposure time tended to be extremely long, so the presence of those the AI isSort of reproducing some of those artifacts that makes it look more authentic, but may also mask some of the tells that it is generated, right?
まあそこまでしてるのかわかんないけど今回のやつが、but まあそもそも写真のアワードで AI 画像を選んじゃダメだろうというアジェンダをそもそもこのエルダグセンさんは持っていて。写真じゃないんだから AI 作品には別のカテゴリーを設けるべきである、その AI 画像と写真を同じカテゴリーで競争させるべきではないっていう主張を持ってる人なんだよね、
うん、
でそこに、まあ、問題を提起するためにあえて AI 作品を出してみたっていう。
Why did
そしたら賞を取ってしまった。
Why did he tell them that it was AI generated? I don't really understand that part.
なんかそのなんか早い段階からエルザグ選手によると早い段階からその問題についてオープンに議論したい討論したいみたいなことを言ってたんだってそう伝えてたんだって、
hmm.
だから別にその騙してどうこうっていう意図っていうよりかはあのそういう議論を投げかけたいみたいなでアワード側も一応その応募要項の条件を満たしているかっていうのを多分賞を上げる前に一応確認しなきゃいけないじゃん、
right.
例えばまあ本人が本当に撮影したのかとかそういういろいろなんか分かんないけど賞 のクライテリアがあってその会話の中で、まあ、応募要項の条件を満たしているなっていうふうに判断したので賞を与えることを決定しましたっていうふうに言ってるんだよねでそのこれクリエイティブ部門なのでその部門に限ってはそもそもいろんな実験的なアプローチを歓迎していて最新のデジタル技術もそれに含まれているからありっちゃありみたいな感じだったらしい
this image is not a photograph, right?
そう
I don't understand how it can qualify for a photography award without being photography, you know?
いや、そう、多分なんかそのクリエイティブ部門っていうのがどういう立て付けなのか私は分かんないんだけど、なんか多分本来ならこれは本当にフォトグラフィーとしてカウントされるのかみたいなやつもいろいろなんか入ってるらしいんだよね。なんかありそういうのもありな部門みたいな。多分っていうアワード側の説明はそういう感じだった、
うん、
でそなんかで揉めてるのはそこではなくてなんかその賞をその賞側は賞をこの人に与えた上でその AI 作品が写真のアワードを勝ち取ることの是非についてとかをウェブサイト上で質疑応答っていう形でエルダグ選手とやり取りする予定だったみたいなだけど賞を辞退されてしまったからそこでもうそのやり取りは終了ってことになっちゃったみたいな逆にエルダグ選手は多分賞を辞退したからといってその対話が打ち切られるとは思ってなかったみたいでそこでちょっとミスコミュニケーションが発生してしまったみたいななんかちょっと不満があるみたいなふうには聞こえたけど
Do you think if you were a judge you would have selected this image
うんいや普通に考えて写真じゃないからダメだろうって思うけどただこのクリエイティブ部門っていうことで例えばその厳密には写真じゃないんだけど写真っぽく見えればいいみたいな緩いなんていうの条件なんだとしたら、まあ、話題になりそうだから今 AI 来てるしちょっとこの賞話題になってほしいから AI のやつ選んどくかって考える担当者がいたとしても不思議ではないなとは思う
Do you think it's this some percentage of the motive here is to get publicity or like?
Yeah, definitely. I would think so.
So it's partly like a PR stunt to award it to the AI image rather than a human. So the judges.Are not discriminating against AI in this case, right?
At least for this particular 部門, yeah. For now.
In fact, they might even prefer AI.
In this case, yeah. It turned out to be that way. So, だから、このエルダグ選手もそうだし、まあ、いろんなメディアの取材に答えている同業の人たち、フォトグラファーの人たちは、まあ、当然エルダグ選手のことは批判してないというかいや本当にこれは問題だこのアワード側がね AI の作品を選ぶっていうこと自体その AI のとの協業、まあ、コラボ写真、まあ、写真じゃないんだけどまずそれを、まあ、応募作品として OK にするっていうことは問題であるみたいなアジェンダをまあ大体みんな持ってるのでどうするんだみたいな、うん、その今後例えば本当の写真と見分けがつかない場合にそれはどうするのみたいなその要は撮った人がこれ本当に写真ですって言い張った場合とかね、
うん、
だから。
You know, if you had an artificial intelligence control a robot, and the robot used a camera and took an awesome picture, then I would say that that should be permitted in a photography award. You know, there's a lot of, you know, digital art awards.
Yeah, then I think it'll become a different issue of like, not a ghostwriter, but ghost photographer, right? So usually when you submit a picture, you have to say that you're the one who took the picture, right? You can't just ask someone to take the picture and then submit it as if it was your own.
Mm-hmm.
So then the question would be like, if you order the robot to do it, then who owns the picture? Who took the picture? Was it you or the robot, right?
Well, so, the robot. The robot can like the, apply to the for the
yeah,
award.
Then that's another problem, I guess. But, まあ、あとその Google のピクセルとかも多分そうだけど、その撮った瞬間にもうめちゃくちゃ自動で補正されてるみたいな。何、選挙？
多分選挙。
Yeah, そういうのもね、その撮った人が意図してないような補正がかかってる。
うん。
あのこの間さ、ほらなんだっけ、 AI が出した作品には著作権がつかないみたいな話があって、それの根拠としてそのプロンプト打ってる側がどういうのが出てくるかを分かってないからみたいなのがあったけどさ、うん、そのピクセルとかも、まあ、それのすごい上の方のレイヤーで言えば同じようなことじゃん。その自分で見て撮ってるんだけど、出てきた写真はいろんな補正がかかってるから、なんて別に本人がどうこうしなくても勝手にカメラがいい具合にやってくれるみたいなさ。
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so, I think there's still a pretty big difference in like the level of.
Yeah, for sure. But like,
yeah.
どこからがじゃあ良くてどこからがダメとかさ、線引きしなきゃいけなくなってくるから。
Well, people that are more experienced with the prompts for something like DALL-E or Midjourney actually have a much better idea in their minds of what it's going to produce, the styles that will be evoked by it. You know, if you know, I've used steampunk, you know, retro, future, vaporwave, 80s, something, and I've used those prompts before, I'll have some familiarity of what you know DALL-E thinks that looks like, and so I'm more directing.
Yeah,
it's more intentional than if someone does the same prompt but doesn't have that experience, right?
Right. And then there's another problem of like, まあその、まあ、BBC の記事でも紹介されてたけど、例えば若い人で写真家目指してる人は今後写真家としての仕事はどうなっちゃうんだろうみたいな。
Mm-hmm.
その、まあ、アートみたいな目線での写真家はいいかもしれないけど、なんかそうじゃない、もしかしたら商業的な写真家の場合、仕事が、ね、まずなくなっちゃうんじゃないかとか、あとそもそも AI にフィードしてる作品たちがあって AI がそれを出せるわけだから、まあ、ただ乗りして仕事を奪ってんじゃないかみたいなさ。
I certainly think things like stock photography can just be generated now.
Yeah.
Also, yeah. Did you see about this woman on Reddit that was selling nude pics to people, but all of the nude pics were AI generated and they didn't know? So she...
Oh, okay.
She made money selling images that were generated by AI as if they were pictures of herself.
Right.
And so platforms, you know, like, I don't know, anywhere that people go for thirst pics or whatever,
yeah,
like OnlyFans or Instagram, like a lot of that content could just be generated by artificial intelligence and look like real people.
Right.
That are, you know, as, I mean, it can just keep generating until it generates the most attractive pictures.
Yeah.
So those
people
that monetize content like that will be displaced by AI.
Right. だからそのさ、誰かがそういうデータを提供してくれたから AI がそういう画像を出せるのに、その提供してきた人たちが仕事を失ってしまって AI でいいじゃんみたいに軽視されてしまうみたいな。それは確かにどうしたらいいんだっていう、その今回の写真もそうじゃん。こういう写真を実際に撮ってきた人たちがいっぱいいて、その人たちのおかげでこれができるのに、あ、これがあるならじゃあ写真家なんていらないじゃん、別に外に出て写真撮る必要なんてないじゃんっていうふうに軽視されてしまうっていう。それは今プログラミングとか翻訳とかもそうだと思うんだけど。
Yeah, I mean, there's probably someone who, I don't know, camped in a tree for like 2 weeks to get this perfect shot and then lost this competition to this guy who was just, you know, ordering pizza and playing with his computer to come up with the winning so-called photograph, right?
Yeah, I mean, in this case,
I'm not blaming him, but...
Yeah, he's a photographer himself, so, you know, but... And I guess it's just one award, but, you know... ね、仕事が取られちゃうってなると辛いよね、単純に。
Well, so, I think something like stock photography, I'm sure there are some people that are passionate about it, but there still remains work in product photography of real things and photography of real people and photography of real stores and venues, and, you know, there's a lot left for people to do, but certainly some of the artistic sort of conceptual stuff is being subverted by AI. Did you see the dog training one? AI?
No.
There's a device that costs $50 a month that it like babysits your dog. It dog sits your dog.
Okay. How?
It can dispense little treats.
Yeah.
And it has your voice in it. So it'll use your voice. Say like, come here, dog. You know, sit. And then your dog will sit. And it'll dispense a little treat.
Yeah.
And it...
That's it?
It can like teach your dog to do different, you know, sit, roll over. I don't know.
How?
Because
you
when
have
the,
to touch the dog to make it sit, to teach sit, right? Can you do that just with your voice? No way.
I don't know. I mean, that's what they're that's what it's
bullshit.
Advertised as doing.
I'm sorry, but that's bullshit.
Well, it has like image recognition, so it knows if the dog sits or not.
Okay.
So
I saw an interview of a woman who got like オレオレ詐欺みたいな, using their daughter's voice or something.
Wow. Yeah.
なんか娘が泣きながら電話してきて、なんか Mom, I messed up みたいな。でどうしたのどうしたのって言ったら、男が電話に出て、で金をも持ってこいみたいな。Hmm. 持ってこいなのか、あの送金しろとかだと分かんないけど、でも娘が家にいたから、あの偽物だって分かったけど、もうどう聞いても娘の声だったみたいな。
Hmm. Wait, where was this?
I forget. Some English-speaking country.
That doesn't narrow it down too much.
Yeah. My British versus American accent sensor is broken, so...
Hmm.
It doesn't leave
me
any impression. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's so weird, right? I guess people could have that with Japanese too, like Osaka ben to Tokyo ben とか.
Well, I think maybe it, either one, you know, doesn't really, you're not paying attention to which accent it is. You're more focused on the content
yeah.
or the meaning
yeah.
at a certain yeah. point. So,
yeah, when both are like so familiar
mm.
and it doesn't stand out anymore. Anyway, 次.
I wanted to ask about this. Like, you don't think this thing could train your dog at all?
I wouldn't say at all, but just this sitting device can teach your dog how to sit and do other tricks. I don't know how that works. Because I thought how it works is like you have to monitor your dog the whole time, and then every time it sits, you give it a treat, right? And say, well, the word sit, and then the dog will...
It could do that, though, right?
So is that what it does? It's just monitoring your dog?
I don't think they've put out the... Like, I've seen videos of how this, you know, conceptually how this is supposed to work, but I don't...
Okay.
The dog just sits. Like, it you know,
yeah.
I understand what you're saying. You have to like make the dog sit like the first few times, but maybe you could just yeah. watch it enough times, and then if it sits, you can just say
yeah, I mean, if
sit
you're watching it, yeah. I yeah. mean, if the dog is visible for a long time, for
uh-huh.
X amount of hours during the day from this device, then I guess it could work, but $50 a month,
Wouldn't it be weird if you're like the Siri would tell your dog what to do? Like the way you say like, hey Siri, you know, Siri says like, hey dog, you know, go
yeah.
get the newspaper. I guess no one's going to do that these days. But like if an AI assistant could train your dog so well that the AI could actually use your dog to do stuff.
Yeah.
Is that weird?
That is definitely weird. And I mean, do dogs listen to anybody? That's another
Some
question.
Some dogs do.
Mm.
If you have the treat, it's all about
okay.
the treat. If there's no treat,
but it depends
nothing
on
works.
The dog, right? Like, even if you have the treat, some dogs will be like, fuck you. Like, why do I listen to you?
If the dog's already trained and extremely
yeah.
like loyal to one person, then maybe. But most dogs,
yeah.
if you have a treat, there's a lot of power
okay.
in having the treat, right?
Yeah.
The dog is like, well, shit, he has a treat. How do I get the treat? I mean, the dog's not really thinking about other things.
Yeah. So we hire pet sitters sometimes when we go away for a week or so.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess それの値段と照らし合わせてめっちゃ安くなるとかだったら考えるかもしれないけど $50 a month だったら別に人間でいい人間でいいやっていうか like I like our pet sitters and
well this thing's supposed to like analyze your dog's posture and like movement and detect if anything's wrong.
Yeah.
I don't know if, you know, how all that's supposed to work because there's
yeah.
so many different dogs, you know, it's like,
yeah.
can it really analyze like all these different breeds and stuff? I don't know.
まあその自分の家に人が来ることにすごい抵抗ある人いるじゃん。そのペットシッターみたいにその自分がいない間に人が自分家に入って何かするのがもう絶対嫌だみたいな人はいいのかもしれないけど。Yeah, so far I really like our pet sitters. And one of them does
They're
so
human,
much
right?
more than... Yeah.
Okay.
Like she would do so much more than we asked. And she's super nice. Like she would water our plants. And then like this one time our cat kind of went crazy and... There was a, I think he got a little upset that we were gone for like a month when we were in Japan. And it started somehow like pooping in my son's bed, which had never, ever happened before. And
that reminds me of a certain court case, but continue.
Yeah, and she was washing our beddings and everything. And もう全然ペットシッター、私からしたらそのペットシッターのスコープを超えてることとかまでやってくれてさ。
Hmm. So it's like house and pet sitter a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. そう。でも実際会って話したりとかもするしさ。なんだろうね。まあ、あともう一人の場合はあのお母さんと私は契約してんだけど、たまにこう娘、大学生の娘が来て、まあこうバイトになるしさ、若い子の、だから、まあいいじゃん、誰かの。まあ、うちも助かるし、彼女もバイトになっていいしみたいな。ウィンウィンじゃん。それが全部そうやってデバイスとかになってくるとなんか、いや。
Would you switch to a like a Tesla bot type, you know, humanoid robot if the humanoid robot, you know, just it just costs
looks just like a human.
Just costs electricity. Maybe there's some rental fee. I don't know what it would be, but it would cost much, much less than people, right? Like you'd pay like 5% or something of what you would pay people. It's almost free. It's almost free.
Yeah.
And the Tesla bot, you know, is so great with animals and amazing with children and cleaning. And it knows exactly what sort of dish soap solution is best for removing crayon from this type of wallpaper, you know?
It feels like we're just going to be in a love and hate relationship with robots and AI. Like, it's like humans versus AI. It's already happening, right? So.
Yeah. I feel that
it's
way.
It's kind of like pet bottles are like that too. Like, we don't want to use them unless we really, really need to, とか。なんかできれば使わない方がいいけど、例えば、ね、コストの問題、金銭面でちょっと難しいから、人間にお願いするのは難しいから、ちょっと今回はしょうがないから、ロボットにお願いするかとかさ、そういうセンチメントっていうか、になっていく気がする。
Yeah. So you would use the humanoid robot.
なんか本屋さんとかもそうじゃん。私は紙の本の方が好きだから、できれば本屋に行って見て買いたい。だがしかし今日本にいないし、しょうがないから Kindle で読むかみたいな。
Yeah, but the trees are getting, you know, the books are made of trees, and I guess the Kindle's made of, you know, some Congo mind.
You know, yeah, well, I'm not using the cobalt. Kindle device, but okay. Yeah. But you know what I mean. Or I don't like Amazon. I don't want to use Amazon unless I really, really need to.
Right.
だからそういうさ、なんていうの?
It's interesting. You don't have to like Amazon to use Amazon. I don't know if you've noticed.
Yeah. I mean, who likes Amazon? Maybe a lot of people do. I don't, but...
I don't dislike Amazon. But I don't love Amazon.
Yeah. あとなんかこっちに来てまだその再配達とかがないのよ。それを考えるとちょっと両親の呵責が減るっていうか、日本みたいにそのしかもすっごい感じがいいお兄さんがさ、なんかあいいですよ、また後で来るんでみたいなとかさ。
Like when you call the truck driver.
Yeah, or yeah.
Yeah.
とかなんかさっき来たんですけどちょっといらっしゃらなかったんでもう一回来ましたみたい なんかうちのマンションの担当のいつものお兄さんがいたりして、あとお姉さんの時もあって、ああ申し訳ないなみたいな。でもこっち来たらそんな再配達なんてそんなもんはないじゃん。
でも
その方がある意味こうちゃんとヒューマナイズされて、ヒューマナイズされてないというかさ。
How does it work there?
If you're not there, you're not there. That's it. You gotta go. To go. This like
to a pickup station or something?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So you get one chance.
You get one chance. And so one time, my husband's parents told me that they had sent this, なんか子供用の、なんていうの、ドラムじゃないんだけど、なんかまあ楽器、ちっちゃい楽器を送ったみたいな。で、届いてるはずだっていうか、チェックしたら、それがそのピックアップセンターに行っちゃってたわけ。で、あ、OK っつって取りに行ったら、それが、そこにあったのがその楽器じゃなくて、たまたまうちがミスってた米だったの。10キロぐらいの。で、徒歩で行っちゃってさ、あ、これ取りに来たんだけどって言ったら、そこのおじさんが、え、車じゃないと絶対無理だよって言うからさ、え、太鼓のはずなんだけど、みたいな言ったら、絶対太鼓じゃない、ちょっとじゃあ開けてみ、ここで、つって開けたら米で、ひーみたいな。で、持って帰ろうとしたんだけど無理で、途中で諦めて旦那に電話して。とかね、日本は絶対ないじゃん、そんな、もう頑張ってさ、大和のお兄さんだが、佐川のお兄さんが10キロの米をさ、ね、2回でも3回でもなんか回数分かんないけど再配達してくれるわけ。
I have no elevator, so
oh my gosh, that's torture, right? So
I know what you're saying, and I don't know if it's like this for you, but I like everyone knows me and I sort of know them, so like the yeah. people at the konbini, the people that work at the cafes, the delivery people,
yeah. you
know, we kind of knowwho each other are. And that's with a machine, that's not this. You don't feel like you're meeting the same, oh, it's you again, ATM.
Yeah.
Like there's no familiarity, no matter how many times, you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
that there's no like relationship, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. ね、レストランの人とかもね。
Yeah.
次。チューリヒ工科大学の研究チームがストレスを感じている人はパソコンのタイピングやマウスの使い方が変化していることを発見しました。実験では90人の被験者に予定調整やデータ分析など普段の仕事に限りなく近い作業を行ってもらいました。するとリラックスして作業したグループはより直接的な最短距離でゆっくりとマウスを動かしていたのに対し、何度も邪魔されたりとストレスを与えられたグループはマウスをより頻繁にかつ非正確に動かし、画面上動く距離がより長くなっていました。またタイピングではストレスを感じるグループでミスが多くなり、タイピング中に短い休止を何度も挟んでいました。2つのグループで心拍数にはほとんど差が見られませんでした。
A research team at ETH Zurich has discovered that stress alters the way people type and move the mouse on a computer. In their experiment, 90 participants were asked to perform routine tasks that resemble their normal work, such as scheduling and data analysis. The group that was relaxed moved the mouse more slowly and in a more direct path, while the group that was constantly interrupted and subjected to stress moved the mouse more frequently and inaccurately.Resulting in longer distances traveled on the screen. The stress group also made more typos and took more short breaks during typing. There was no significant difference in heart rate between the two groups.
そう。なんか前にさ、音を聞くだけで何を打ってるか分かるかもみたいな話とかあったじゃん？
うん。
それみたいな感じで、これも多分音を聞けば、まあ、この実験では全然その話はメンションされてないけど、音を聞けば、あ、今この人ストレス感じてるなとか、まあ、分かりそう。
Mm. I think maybe more so with the typing than,、mm. than the mouse.
Yeah. So, そうだから、ストレスを感じてるとタイプしてる間に短い休止を細かく何度も挟む。リラックスしてる場合は、頻度が落ちるんだけど休止がちょっと長くなる、
うん、
だからちゃんと考えてよしって言って打つのか、バーって打ってて、ああ打って、打ってみたいなで、これ機械学習でモデル化しようとしてるので、スイスで同意した被験者の普段のマウスとキーボードの操作を全部トラッキングして、心拍数と主観的なストレスレベルも確認していますと。で、今後そのモデル化して職場でストレスを早期発見できるんではないかみたいな。
うん。
まあ、発見したところでって感じもするんだけど。
And this is kind of what you would expect, though, right?
For 何機械 machine learning の
ってこと? Well, that if you're
oh this whole thing result
yeah, yeah, the, this, yeah, yeah this result is sort of what you'd expect, and I think in sort of like competitive gaming, when players get stressed out, you know, clicking a button is very similar to like aiming and shooting in a game. And so there's like,
yeah.
if the path that the cursor is taking is longer and more inaccurate, you're going to lose more in a video game, right? So this study sort of reinforces the idea that if you can't control your mental state, that your performance is going to deteriorate, whether it's in a gaming context or work efficiency context. You know, the mouse is going places that it doesn't need to go.
I think the main thing about this research is that they're trying to make the model, right, with machine learning. And I think これだけじゃなくて、まあ、いろんなところでそれをやろうとしている研究がいっぱいあって、それをじゃあ実装したときにどうなっちゃうっていうのが悪いけどどうなってしまうんだろうっていう。
There's been a lot of research on topics like this with eye tracking, particularly analyzing what correlates to bounce rates, and not specifically to do with, you know, how the human experience affects how they interact, but more, you know, tracking these kinds of metrics that I guess you could call it like digital body language, right? So that plays a big role in retention in apps and social media.
Yeah.
And I think people notice this on a personal level just by like how quickly someone responds to a text message, or if it says like typing and then they like stop typing and then they start typing again. And it's like, okay, this is like, you know, a more thoughtful or deliberate response than maybe otherwise.
そうね。なんかちょっとディストピア感があるよね。職場でこれはやられるというか、まあ、そのこれはいい意図があって、そのストレスを早期発見した方がいいっていう前提でやってるんだけど、ただそれをそのデータを職場が持ったところでどう、まあだから、ね、その職員の何パーセントがストレスを感じている状態が何ヶ月続いていますよみたいなウォーニングとかそういう意味だと思うけど。
Well, what's also concerning is that this information is explicit and already digitized and can potentially be exploited by anyone through the internet that has access to it. Certainly Apple could access this, or perhaps browsers. I'm not sure where, you know, is this protected at all, or
so I mean in the paper obviously they talk about that, right? その社員の監視ツールみたいにならないようにデータを匿名化してきちんと保護できる場合に限定しなければいけないでしょうねみたいな話はもちろん知っているんだけど、but 難しいよね。なんか人にもよるしさ、なんていうの、その仕事が少なくて客観的に見たら楽な環境でもちょっとしたことでめっちゃストレス肩みたいになる人もいるし、むしろ超過労なのに結構耐性があるみたいな人もいるだろうし、そう。
Well, it's interesting to think about how, you know, with the new artificial intelligence, how it may be able to analyze information like this, but, you know, also there's talk about things like ChatGPT becoming multimodal and potentially having it be embodied, or it could use cameras.
Right.
And so if an AI had eyes, cameras, how well could that analyze your body language? You know, at what point can it just read your mind, or it knows what you're going to do next?
Yeah.
Right? Because like so many AIs have just like watched so many humans, and you know, our faces are so exposed, you know, like our facial expressions are just there to be read and
on purpose. Yeah.
And there's like micro expressions, and it's very hard to hide your emotions. I mean, I think it'd be almost impossible to hide your emotions from an advanced algorithm. You know, the same way it could predict the next word, it may predict, you know, at some point it'll predict your next thought and then your next action, I suppose.
Yeah. 次.
Authorities in New York City have arrested two Chinese nationals, Liu Jingwang and Chen Jingping, and charged them with operating a secret Chinese police station for China's Ministry of Public Security. The two are facing charges of conspiring as agents for China and the obstruction of justice, and will face 25 years in prison if convicted. The secret Chinese police station outpost, located in Manhattan's Chinatown, was closed in 2022 during an investigation by the FBI, and according to the U.S. Department of Justice, it is the first secret Chinese police station discovered in the United States. The DOJ has since stated that such stations are already operating in at least 53 countries. China denies operating secret police stations and has referred to them as service centers for overseas nationals.
中国の警察当局が中国公安省の秘密警察署を運営した容疑で2人の中国人、ルー・ジアンワンとチェン・ジンピンを逮捕・起訴しました。2人は中国政府のエージェントとして出先機関を運営した罪と司法妨害の罪に問われており、有罪になれば最長25年の懲役が科されます。今回の秘密警察署はマンハッタンのチャイナタウンに設置されており、2022年に FBI の捜査中に閉鎖されましたが、米司法省によると米国で発見された中国の秘密警察署はこれが初めてで、このような警察署が少なくとも53カ国で運営されているとしています。中国政府は秘密警察署の運営を否定しており、在外国民向けのサービスセンターに過ぎないと主張しています。
Yep.
去年まさにイギリスでもニュースになってたんだけど、
Oh, was there one there?
One っていうか three.
Three.
ロンドンに2カ所とスコットランドのグラスゴーにあるっていうので、なんか中国政府はこれもアメリカと一緒で、中国市民の役所関係の手続きをサポートするためのサービスセンターだっていうふうに主張してるんだけど、ロンドンのやつは不動産屋なんだよね。でグラスゴーは中華レストラン。なんだよ。だから別になんていうの、政府がそういうサービスをやるんだったら一日領事館みたいな風にやればいいだけであって、この不動産屋とかレストランのふりをする必要ってあるのかっていう。
Do you think that's all of them or most of them, or do you think that there's actually like maybe dozens of these undiscovered?
I have no idea. カナダでも2カ所今なんか捜査してるって書いてあったね。So
there were a lot of announcements by the DOJ on Monday, and one of them was that there were Chinese government officials that had been directing employees of US companies to remove certain content from their platform. And there were 34 officers in the Ministry of Public Security charged with creating thousands of fake social media accounts to influence dissidents abroad. Yeah, so there's, I guess there's a lot going on.
Yeah. だそのあれだよね、中国国外に住んでいる中国の人たちを脅迫監視するためっていうことで言われてるけど、なんか年末にもさ、多分ポッドキャストで話したけど、マンチェスターの中国大使館でデモしていた男性が中に引きずり込まれて、その大使館の職員とか領事館の人に暴行されるみたいな事件があって、まあ、あのイギリスの警察官とちょっとこう もうそこにいたんだけど、なんか押し問答になるみたいな状況があったけど、なんかその、ね、中国から亡命した人とかその家族に嫌がらせをしたり脅迫したりしてるっていう、だその亡命する意味がなくなっちゃうもんね、その逃げ場を失わせてしまうというか、この世界どこに行ってもその自分の政府から逃れることができないで、ものすごい恐ろしいから、
いや、This is being referred to as transnational repression by the Department of Justice. And the U.S. officials have made various statements about, you know, this is an effort to undermine democracy.
Yeah.
In some cases, it was to remove content that had mentioned the Tiananmen Square incident. I don't know. Is this does this seem like an escalation to you? Are things? I didn't know about this, actually. I didn't know that there were secret Chinese police stations. It's interesting that China is referring to them as a. Service centers.
Yeah.
And I think the one in New York did provide some services, but according to the U.S., those services they're just offered as a front for what they're actually up to. So, yeah. And a lot of these so-called agents are U.S. citizens, and some of them are U.S. citizens and not of Chinese descent. So,
why are they working there?
You'd have to ask them. But it could be, you know, money, obviously.
Right. やっぱのマンチェスターのやつは結構衝撃的だったというかさ、その自分の国、なんか人の国でもまあびっくりだけど、自分の国の大使館に引きずり込まれそうになって、それをこう必死に抵抗して仲間も引っ張ってるみたいな、その自分の国の領事館に引きずり込まれたら終わりみたいなさそんなことあるみたいな、なんかサウジアラビアもあったけどさ、その領事館の中に入っちゃったらもう治外法権で守ってもらえないみたいな、like, that's crazy. So yeah
do you don't like this?
Obviously this is crazy. 逃げてきた意味がないじゃんね、本当に。だなぜそこまでしてその粘着するというかさ、その自分の国にとって不都合な人を、その人が海外に逃げてまでもこう粘着して、そうやって嫌がらせしたり脅迫したりとか、それなんか同じ国の人じゃん、だってなんか意見は違うかもしれないけど、同じ国の人間なのによくそこまでできるなと思う。
Yeah, and some of these agents having U.S. citizenship, you wonder, like, why did they get the citizenship? As cover? You know, like, what is going on there?
Yeah.
So I don't. It's kind of spooky, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, there could be one here. Like, I could be right next to a secret Chinese police station.
いや、そうやってこういうことを政府がすることによって普通に海外で暮らしてる中国人の人たちも迷惑被るわけじゃん。もしかしてこの人もそうなのかなって。普通に不動産屋やってる、普通にレストランやってる人がさ、ここももしかしてなんかそういう秘密警察なのかなみたいな。Paranoia about this. って思っちゃうことがあるとしたら、それも迷惑だしさ。It's
interesting, like, initiatives like this are presumably designed to protect and sort of embellish the image of China and their values, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's the whole point of it, right? But if it gets found out like this, it just has very much the opposite effect. And I feel like this isn't the first time we've seen this pattern. Right.
本当に逆効果だよね。特にこのチャイナタウンとかもさ、チャイナタウンなんてみんな好きじゃん。その美味しいご飯もある、なんか美味しいデザートいっぱいあるとかさ、で別に中国人じゃない人たちもみんな行くしさ、いいイメージで、ね、そこでずっと住んできた中国の人たちがさ、頑張ってそれはね作ってきたものであって。毎日頑張って働いているのにさ、その中でそういうことをされたらさ、そもそもその人たちみんなそうやって警察署、秘密警察から監視されてるし、そういうものがあったっていうふうなことでネガティブなイメージにもなっちゃうし、いや何がしたいんだっていうね。Like, I was just in the Chinatown, like, on Sunday here in London, and yeah, it's
Can you imagine getting arrested by Japanese police while
you're
in the UK?
いや本当に考えられないじゃん。そのこっそりなんか日本食レストラン運営してるように見せかけた日本の秘密警察署がロンドンにあってさ、私がずっとこう監視されて、あいつなんか日本の悪口を配信してるぞみたいなとかさ、
Are you criticizing
なんか言いがかり、
this politician?
いや言いがかりよ。つけられてさ、家族まで嫌がらせされたりとかしたらさ、え、ちょっと待ってってなる、ちょっと待ってところじゃないというか、もうおかしいじゃんね、その人の国で勝手にそんなことしてさ、
yeah.
いやちょっと考えられない。
They've really been increasing the controls of digital information too、so now if you want to have an app in China or a lot of other media in China, you have toapply for permits from various organizations. So like if it has religious content, you have to get a permit for internet religious information from the National Religious Affairs Administration. If it's news content, you have to get an internet news information permit from the Cyberspace Administration of China. Like it'sSort of become difficult for just, I guess, for businesses and media or basically for any outside influence to get into Chinese markets, which is obviously their intent. But.
Right. Yeah.
I saw. Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I saw.A series of street interviews of people living in Russia.
Okay.
You know, asking what they thought about the conflict in Ukraine. And as well as... interviews of people in Belarus and places like that. And, you know, when they're asked about other countries, like a lot of these people, they want to go to other countries. They want to go to, you know, they want to come to Japan, you know. A lot of them actually like the United States. But the information they have is so different than the information that we have. It's almost like, and it varies with age, or it correlates to age. The older people seem to have their information more directly from the government. But I don't know. I hadn't, in a while, I hadn't seen just like real people asked what they thought, and it was kind of surreal to see. Like they think that the United States wants their resources, like needs their, the U.S. like needs Russian oil, otherwise the U.S. is doomed. And it's like, what? What?
Yeah.
Like, whoa, what are you guys talking about? You know? It's pretty wild. So when I see stuff like this happening in China, it's just like, over time, what people believe will diverge. And, you know, according to whatever the effects of their propaganda might be. But, yeah.
Yeah. なんかウクライナ人のさ友達もさドネツクからお母さんがこっちに来てたんだけど結局あのロシアに引っ越してしまったんだよね。なんかその世代間のギャップがすごすぎてやっぱそのプーチンに対する印象とか、そのウクライナに住んでるけど、まあ、ロシアのメディアをずっと見て育ってきた世代、とかはやっぱりこう今のこの状況においてもなんかそんなにプーチンを悪く思ってない人もいて、だからすごい複雑なんだよね。だからやっぱり言語の問題がすごいまず大きいなっていう感じがするし、世代もそうだけど、だから何語の情報に接してきたかによって一世代でこんなにも差があるのかっていう。だから Yeah, it's a なんていうんだ、普通にこう日本で育ってきた人がパッて見て理解できるようなそんな単純な話じゃないんだなっていうふうに感じるけど。
Like the communication breaks down when what you believe is so like divorced, you know, like how do you, because then you just have to talk about the facts, but then you're just referring to like the authority that you prefer, you know, and you know, I don't believe everything that comes out of the Western pro-Ukraine side either. I know that there's propaganda there also, but you know, it's just that, I mean, people can believe what they want, I suppose, but their version is that, you know, Russia's going to win, which I don't know. I mean, I guess I don't know the truth, whatever, you know, nobody knows the future, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it's like the information you have is so different. They're like,
it's hard to talk
like
about.
Even this, like, mother and daughter, like, they can't even have a conversation about it because it's just more, it's too late っていうかもう何ディバイドがあまりにも大きすぎる、そのギャップをもう対話で埋めるっていうことがどうしてももう不可能に近いというかさ、そう、まあアメリカでもね政治の話とかになると全然家族間でそういうことになってる人いっぱいいるけど、
it's there too、Balkanization of epistemology is real.
Yeah. 久しぶりに出た。
It's totally real. Like it's everywhere.
Yeah. 次。
SpaceX is planning to launch its Starship rocket on its maiden orbital flight on April 20th during a 62-minute launch window from 10:28 p.m. to 11:30 p.m. JST. Starship is the largest rocket ever built. It is 120 meters tall, 9 meters wide, and 60% more massive than the Saturn V rocket, which took astronauts to the moon. Its size and rapid reusable design is estimated to enable a reduction in the payload cost to orbit from $10,000 per kilogram down to $100 per kilogram, potentially ushering in a new era of human activity in Earth's orbit and beyond. Starship has also been selected as the NASA Artemis mission's Human Landing System, or HLS, for the moon. A launch was attempted on Monday, but was scrubbed due to a stuck pressurization valve. Prior to the attempt, Elon Musk, chief engineer at SpaceX, stated the following, quote, "Please set your expectations appropriately. Success is not what should be expected tomorrow. That would be insane." According to SpaceX, Starship will be able to transport 100 people at a time to Mars and will help make it possible for a self-sustaining civilization to live there in the near future.
SpaceX は本日4月20日の日本時間夜10時28分から11時半の間に初めてスターシップを軌道飛行させる予定です。スターシップは人類史上最大のロケットで、高さ120メートル、幅は9メートル、宇宙飛行士を月に運んだサタン V ロケットをさらに 60% 大きくしたサイズです。その大きさに加え、迅速な再利用を可能にする設計により、軌道上までのペイロードコストが従来は1キロあたり1万ドルであったものを100ドルにまで削減できるとされ、地球の軌道上及びその外側での人類の活動において新しい時代を切り開く可能性があります。スペース X によると、スターシップは一度に100人の人間を火星まで輸送可能で、近い将来火星に自立した文明が居住することを可能にするのに役立つとしています。スターシップは NASA アルテミス計画の月への有人着陸システムとして選択されています。今週月曜日に一度打ち上げが試みられましたが、加圧バルブが凍結したため一旦中止され、今日が再度の挑戦となります。月曜日の打ち上げの前、スペース X のチーフエンジニアイーロン・マスク氏は以下のように述べていました。どうか期待値を適切に調節しておいてください。明日成功すべきだと期待するのは正気ではありません。ジャックさんはね、こうやって言えればいいんだけど、税金なのでそんなことは許してもらえないっていう。
Yeah.
これもあれから日本だったらスペース X 失敗した、終わった終わったって言われる。
終わった
月曜日にね。
Yeah, they were close. It was just the stuck pressurization valve, so the booster stage couldn't reach the pressure they needed to launch. So, but yeah, they would call it 失敗 here.
120メートル、やっぱでかすぎるよね。ファルコン9ですらもでかいと思ったけどさ、あのフジテレビ本社ビルと同じ高さだって、120メートルって。新宿のヒルトン東京とか、永田町東急キャピトルタワーとか、茨城の牛久大仏と同じ高さ、あれがこう空を飛んでいくって考えるとちょっととんでもないよね。
Yeah, it's the largest rocket by far, and that's part of what makes it so cost effective. Because a lot of the components stay the same size no matter what size the rocket is. So the larger the rocket is, the smaller percentage mass those components are going to be. So yeah, they scrubbed on Monday and they turned the scrub into a wet dress rehearsal, which means they do everything except for launch. So they do all the, you know, fueling and stuff. Just more testing of the vehicle.
1万ドルが100ドルってすごいよね。もう2桁削られてるじゃん。
Yeah, it'd be a reduction of what, 99%?Right, so
it's crazy.
Yeah, the main factor is the reusability, because right now rockets just get thrown away. Even the Falcon 9, the second stage is not reused; it's thrown away. So only the first stage is recovered. So this one is fully reusable, the first and second stage, and then it's also rapidly reusable. So the first stage will come down and it'll actually get caught out of the air by that giant robot, Mechazilla. and then placed on the launch mount. And then when the ship comes back, Mechazilla will grab that and place it on top and restack the ship. And so...
What?
So the parts come down, they get caught by the robot. The robot stacks the, you know, puts the first stage on the launch mount. That refuels. They put the ship on the first stage, and now it's ready to launch again.
Wow.
So...
Wow. So they're, like, assembled already when they come back, basically.
They're just like fully reusable.
Like, after they come back. Yeah. That's crazy.
And that little robot with the chopstick arms, like, stacks them on top of each other, so it's...
Yeah.
So you have your staging.
Wow.
And that... The reusability and rapid reuse is what gets the cost so low.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And so if it's successful, then everything's going to radically change.
Right.
Because we're so limited in what we can send to space right now by mass constraints. And so...
だってもうそしたら飛行機みたいじゃんね。その飛行機もさ、空港着いて別にまたそのまま出るわけじゃん。 別の場所に。
Yeah, but they, I think they want faster turnaround than like commercial jets.
What do you mean? Like they get back and then they immediately, but then they need to load something, right?
Well, there's payload, so it depends what the payload is, but initially the majority of launches are going to be their own payload, which is the Starlink satellite,
right?
For the Starlink constellation, and currently they launch usually about 62 satellites at once. with Starship, they'll be able to launch over 600 satellites per launch.
Oh my god!
So for those launches, I mean, it'll just be like, they just shove the satellites, then the next stack of satellites in there. And I mean, the launch cadence will be slow and then get faster over time. But so like this target of, you know, $100 a kilo is sort of the theoretical best case.
Right.
You know, once everything works according to plan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, it could get lower than that even, but... But that's what they're aspiring to. So,
right.
Are you going to watch it?
I mean, what time is that here? Oh, that's like during the day here. So
it's like 4 or 5 hours from now.
Like, ohiru. What? Oh, now as in when this is... 配信されてる? Oh, wait a minute. Wait. No. Is it April 20th today here? There?
Tomorrow. Tomorrow. It'll
tomorrow,
be tomorrow.
Right?
But
yeah.
For people listening, yeah. It'll be today.
Yeah, right, right. だから今これを配信されてすぐ聞いてる人からしたら数時間後だよね。
Yeah, from about 10:30 p.m.
Yeah.
10時半.
Yeah.
夜。
だからイギリスだったら明日の多分お昼前とかお昼とかそんぐらいかな。Takuro-san
said that he'd be watching. I'm sure a lot of people will be watching.
Yeah.
This one.
Yeah. Yeah.
For a lot of us, I mean, a lot of people have been watching this development constantly for years. I mean, Starhopper was in 2019, I guess. But the actual Starship plan was revealed much earlier than that, like 20, I don't know, almost the beginning of the company. And there have been many interesting design changes and iterations along the way. They've actually flown the ship part before, not to orbit. Or actually, I should say, technically, this will not be an orbital flight. they're going to go just shy of orbit because if they have a problem, let's say it blows up or something, and it's in orbit, that would create an enormous amount of debris, orbital debris that we don't want.
Right.
So it's important that it just be just below orbit so that if anything were to happen, those parts or whatever would naturally, you know, the craft would naturally deorbit and not create a bunch of junk.
Right.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So it'll take off around 55 seconds after that. It'll enter max Q, which is maximum aerodynamic stress. That's one point where it might explode. If it doesn't explode after 55 seconds, then it might explode after 2 minutes and 49 seconds, because that's BECO, booster engine cutoff, where they're going to shut down 33 engines and then do stage separation. So the ship and booster will separate, and then the ship will ignite its engines to go to the almost orbital trajectory, and the booster will do a boost back burn, and the ship will go and crash northwest of Hawaii in the Pacific Ocean. And so the booster will ignite its inner 13 engines, do the boost back burn for 55 seconds, and then it will do a water landing in the Gulf of Mexico. The landing burn will last about 23 seconds and use 3 engines, the innermost engines, gimbaling. The engines gimbal, which means they can aim independently. And it will impact the water at 8.5 meters per second, which is not super fast. And then it'll fall over and sink. And if it doesn't sink, then someone's going to like shoot it with a sniper rifle or something, so it sinks. And that's how the test is supposed to go.
Okay. For UK に住んでる人は明日2時半だった。午後2時半から3時半の間のどっか。ちょうどスクールランの時間帯。だから公園とかで見ないといけない。
Maybe you can.
Yeah.
You should.
I can, but...
Everyone should just stop what they're doing and watch this. If you're a kid and you're in school and you're studying... you're studying... I don't care what it is. Anything. Instead of watching this, like, that's such a waste.
I mean, they can watch it on YouTube.
It's got to be live. It's got to be live.
But... yeah, that's the total pickup time, so that's when the kids are released from school. Yeah. My son the other day randomly asked me, like, so there were no, he was trying to confirm, like, so there were no humans when dinosaurs were here, right? And I said yes, and he was like, then who were the first humans? And I was like, that's a great question. You know,
Adam,
like,
and Eve.
That's a really good question. So I gave him those two versions, you know, the Adam and Eve story that, you know, he will eventually learn at school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Bible version. I told him that that's the religious version. And then I told him the, you know, like Takai Ken-san, like Shinkai version.
Oh, we came from some thermophilic...
the bottom of the ocean.
...bacteria
yeah.
or something.
Yeah. But, you know, at the age of 4, like, if you really, really make it simple, they can be engaged and they ask really, really good questions. I was impressed when he asked who were the first humans. I was like, oh, good thinking, you know?
Well, did you... But you didn't tell him who the first humans were. You just said, like, where life came from, right?
Yeah. I said no one knows, you know, who the first humans were. unless you're, you know, Christians, I guess.
We could just name them, right? Like, whoever they are, we could just name them. Yeah. Couldn't we?
Yeah, it can be Adam and Eve. I don't really care. But we don't, I mean, it's a fact that we don't know what they were calling themselves, right? So
they probably didn't have names, right?
Probably, yeah.
They no. certainly didn't have like first and last names, right?
No, I don't think so, yeah. That would be surprising.
That would be big news, I think.
Yeah.
I think in some sense, the Adam and Eve story is might be true. If human consciousness was sparked by some sort of like psychedelic mushroom right. in yeah. cow patties or something, then the fruit yeah. of the tree of knowledge might have been, you know, something like that.
And I didn't realize that the Adam and Eve story is so intriguing for a four-year-old. As I was telling the story, it mm-hmm. felt like I was such a good storyteller because he was super engaged. But then if you really think about it, right, it's super interesting for a four-year-old because, first of all, it's about people that are doing something bad, something that they're not supposed to. And mm-hmm. and it's all because of this like mysterious snake suddenly shows up and
temptation tell them to and do it. Yeah, curiosity. It has yeah, so much.
And then they get punished, you know?
Yeah.
So
the punishment is consciousness. Isn't that deep?
Yeah.
The punishment yeah. So is consciousness. Responsibility for your actions yeah. is the punishment.
I mean, it is a good, like, interesting story. Yeah. So he was like listening very intently and his eyes were like sparkly.
And they even, you know, they realize that they're naked.
Yeah.
Like yeah, that happened
for the first time.
There was at some point in human history, there was the first person that was like, I think I feel embarrassed right now. What? What is this feeling? And they,
I don't know which came first, though, like this practical, like being practical, or the sense of shame or embarrassment.
I think it became more practical later. Probably, like, I don't know, genitals were like way more tough back in the day. Like, if we weren't wearing clothes for millions of years, it's not like you suddenly need clothes.
Not to protect from the environment, but protect from, I'm a woman, so I would assume that you want to protect yourself from men. So it's not really helpful if your vagina is exposed at all times, like super easy access. So it's better right. for me, for my own protection, to cover it somehow and don't stimulate men, basically. Or don't give them such an easy access. So I start covering myself.
I think in the very early days, it was, I don't know how much, you know, that was a primary concern, or like, I don't know what the
that must interactions have been a, one have been of like. The primary concerns too, right? Because if you get pregnant, then you could easily die.
Maybe
it was like way riskier than now, right? Like you become super vulnerable.
Right.
So you want to avoid it.
Well, there is this thing now where we have this awareness of nakedness and, you know, whatever the evolutionary pressure was for developing that, you know, it's something that appeared seemingly together with consciousness and ego. So I think the development of the ego is sort of where this sense of, you know, being aware that you are a person, you know, it seems obvious to us, like that concept, but it may have also coincided with, you know, nomadic behavior as humans migrated into different climates, then clothing was a way to adapt to those climates and survive.
Right. I was thinking the other day, like randomly. So we have a lot of records that were written by Jesus' disciples about Jesus and what was going on back then, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do we have any records of non-believers writing about Jesus and his disciples?
Yeah, there are a lot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was threatening. Was it the Romans that were investigating this cult of personality? There's okay. a whole ancient writings about this
cult.
This cult around right. this figure.
Right.
Okay. From
yeah, I was curious because I've never read that.
And they weren't irreligious, to. Just to be clear, because nobody was back then.
Yeah,
they just
yeah, yeah.
didn't believe in Jesus. And obviously right, there right. are other major religions that don't really
yeah.
have the same interpretation of Jesus either.
Yeah, because I grew up reading the Bible, but then I've never read like anything that was written by the people that were outside of the circle.
So. Yeah, but they certainly... Yeah, exists.
Because that's what I've been doing with all the other religions now, right? Like I was watching the Davidian documentary or something. Like people just look from the outside and talk about it.
Mm.
And then maybe sometimes interview people who are inside, but usually it's written by the people that are observing it.
Right. I mean, there were a lot of conflicts between... religious groups in historically,
yeah, for
you know,
sure.
antiquity, and they wrote yeah. plenty about each other.
Yeah. So like for a 4-year-old, I mean, it was an Easter. So I think at school they explained to him what it was and how Jesus died. And for a 4-year-old, it's a quite shocking story. Right. So he keeps asking me like, why did they kill Jesus? Why was he killed? And so, you know, I have to explain it to him. And basically, it's like a super dumbed down version. So, you know, you know, people thought that he was a bad person. People thought that he was lying and, you know.
Right.
But it's just like bringing back all my childhood memories of all these Christianity, like, little stories and...
Do you think you would ever, like, how would you react if your child ended up being devout, like Christian? Like,
I'd be very surprised.
Well, I know the surprise part, but you'd be surprised, and you know, like, would it? I mean, I'm assuming you'd have a somewhat negative.
It depends. I mean, devout, it really depends, right? If he starts saying like, so I saw, there was a video that was going viral between a young boy, well, young man, like college student, and Trudeau. And I think Trudeau was having a speech or something. He was at some event and he's surrounded by people and he's talking to this young man who is anti-abortion, and Trudeau is just asking him questions, and the young man is implying that he's a Christian and he's against abortion, and the reason that he was saying was that, you know, if you're a woman and if you get pregnant because you were fucking around, then you should take the responsibility and should not get an abortion. So if my son starts saying something like that, then yeah, I would think that it's a problem. But if you're like a flexible Christian, then I wouldn't have any problem.
I see.
Unless you're like, oh, you know, gay people are all going to go to hell and abortion is not allowed in any context, that kind of stuff.
Right.
But that's kind of extreme, right? So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Christianity is one of the more flexible religions now.
Yeah. I mean, as a parent, I have all kinds of horror scenarios, like him joining something like the Davidians or, You know, so compared to all these scary scenarios, becoming a Christian, going to church, and I don't know, reading the Bible, like that's fine.
Would you
like, as long as he's not exploited and then he's not harming other people, I guess.
What do you think of the people that want AGI to take over? And that
take over what?
Take over Earth. And that humans' time is like done now. You know? Because what's his name? Sergey, what's his name? The Google CEO. I can't remember. But he called Elon Musk a speciesist for saying that we need to regulate and limit AI.
Yeah.
So there are people that want
speciesist.
Yeah. So like there are people that want to do the AI thing to bring about AGI because it's the next phase. And that humans are just done. And they're sort of, they just think that humans are done and we shouldn't resist. Like what?
Yeah.
And it feels like a new religion or a new movement or something. Like the pure futurist, the pure, like, you know, just a pure futurist. They like technology above all, you know?
Yeah. I don't want to be rude to those people, but I really wonder if they have really internalized the fact that that could actually happen. Like,
oh, he believes it's going to happen. I mean, this is Google's mission, right? I don't know if it's like their official mission statement, but you know, the leaders there.
Like, I was thinking about this the other day. Like, we've been here. Humans have been here. And so we somehow act like we're going to be here for a long time.
Mm.
But then we don't know that, right?
Right.
We really, really don't know that. So with this like AI and robotics and all these things, it really could be ending us. Like, this could be what is really ending us.
Yeah, well,
I don't
twice
feel
as many
about it, 'cause
twice as many people died in Japan last year as were born. More than twice as many. So like there's something's happening, right? And it's up to us whether we, you know, make our species survival the priority or our technology the priority, I guess.
Yeah, I think I was reading an article about the 韓国の少子化 and how they, you know, it got to the current level. Mm. And まあ今まで絶滅して、もう今もね絶滅してる生き物って常にいっぱいいるわけじゃん。カエルとか特にそうだけどさ、どんどんどんどん絶滅してる種っていうのはもう常にいて、なんかそれもさ何らかの理由でこう子供を作らなくなるとか、まあ住みかがなくなって餌が減っていってとかさ、こうトキみたいにどんだけ外部から圧をかけてもなかなか子供ができないとかもあるしさ。
うん、
そこでこうどんどん子供が減っていって死んでいくわけじゃん。だから人間もその、まあ、テクノロジーもそうだけど、まあ、そういう環境文化政策によってこうやってどんどん減ってるっていうことは、まあ、他の動物とそんなに変わらないっていうか、人間は例外じゃないはずだから、何らかの環境とか、まあ、いろんな要因があって自然と子供を作らなくなる、その結果絶滅するみたいなのは全然あるんだろうなって思うし、やっぱ友達とか周りでその子供を作らない選択をしている人がめっちゃいるから、
うん、
あの何できなくてっていうんじゃなくて、本当にいらないっていう風に選択してる人がやっぱ自分の想定以上にすごいいっぱいいて、家族もそうだし、あの、ま、うちの弟とかね。だから結構あそうなそうなんだみたいな、自分が若い時は想像してなかったっていうか、当たり前のようにみんな結婚して子供産んでみたいな空気があったけど、もちろん今はそういう感じじゃないっていう、ただそれの加速度が思った以上にすごいなって感じるから。
Yeah, it seems like technology has not helped people want to have children and or want to have as many children as much as technology has enabled people to, you know, prevent having children in an unintended way. So like the net effect is very much, the net effect of technology is very much in the direction of us, you know, not having children rather than helping humans have children.
Yeah. And then I guess what you brought up earlier, the question would be like, じゃあ人間がいなくてもいいや。なんて、人間は別にいいから、もうその次の存在として AI とかロボティクスを守っていくべきだみたいに思う人もいれば、人間がもういなくなっちゃうんだったらその後のことはそもそもどうでもいいやっていうかさ、その AI とかロボットとかで人間の痕跡を残すみたいな必要も別にないかみたいに思う人もいるだろうし。
Yeah, and it's like this new religion.
Preference.
Yeah. Well, it's like this new, like humans are not the priority.
Yeah.
Humans are
like,
old.
I feel like the latter, honestly. But
what's the latter?
How do you feel? Or like, 人間が全部絶滅していなくなっちゃうんだったら別に AI にじゃあ次を託して AI に頑張ってもらおうみたいな気分には得にならない。その人類が生きた痕跡として AI に頑張ってもらおう、ロボットに頑張ってもらおうみたいな風には思わない。
Well, if AI is not conscious, then it's just this massive thing thatdoesn't experience anything, and you know, it's I don't like this sort of handing the baton to AI movement at the expense of humankind, right?
本当ペーパークリップマキシマイザーの世界だよね。だからそこでそのペーパークリップマキシマイザーの方をなぜか応援するっていうことじゃん。
Yeah.
It is.
Because who's it for? It's for nothing. Do you know what I mean? It's like, okay, the AI is great, but like, for what? Like, if it doesn't have to do with humanity, like human beings, empowering human beings, then I don't really see the point.
Yeah.
Because it's like, okay, cool. Like, there's some aliens that are super tech, you know.Technically advanced, and they're flying around. I don't, it's not humans, so it's like,
yeah,
so what? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I totally agree. Like, how I see it is, like, 別にそのこの世界に何か意味があるとか、人間がいることに意味があるとか、全然思ってないっていうか、意味はないけれども、このなんかミラクル的なユニバースっていう存在、しかもこうすごい長い年月続いている中で、その一瞬だけ自分がこの世界の中で目を開けて何が起きているかを見ることができている、そしてそれをすごいって思う能力っていうか、その感受性みたいなものがなぜか自分に備わっていて超ラッキーみたいなそうやって思うことができる、そのこと自体がすごいから、もうそれで満足っていうかさ。
I mean, as much of a shit show as it seems like sometimes, like humans are freaking incredible that this is working at all. Like this planetary level civilization of different people that evolve differently, have different languages, and like that it's working at all is incredible, you know? So I don't know, that whole thing of just like, you know, just putting the AI first or whatever it is just gives me weird vibes. Like,
yeah. まあでもそういうふうにだから新しい宗教みたいになっていく可能性っていうのは全然あるよね。
I think it will. I think there will be people that believe that the AI is conscious or acquiring yeah. consciousness and that it is a worthy, you know, replacement yeah. for...
Yeah, だからやっぱ education is so important. Like, if, I mean, last week we talked about the kids who thought that Alexa is able to feel things and you know, mm-hmm. can be hurt and things and... それがそのまま大人になるみたいなもんじゃん? And that's very dangerous.
Well, so. We may not be able to prove that the AI is not conscious. You know, my position is like, even if the AI is conscious, I wouldn't hesitate to unplug it if it threatened humans. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it can be conscious, but we can still, you know... dictate where this goes. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is whole thing like, oh, it's conscious, so we have to like worship it or something. Like, no, let's not
yeah,
do
I
that.
Yeah, I mean, consciousness の definition にもよるから、それはもうなんか人間が決めること、人間が決めることっていうか、この AI の文脈において人間が決めることだから。だからそういうロボットの人権みたいな話になってきたときに、そこはなんか、ね、騙されずにこうバチッと電源を切ることができるようにしておかないといけないと思うけど。But yeah.
Did you watch the BBC interview with Elon?
I didn't, but I saw that it was trending, and I saw some excerpts where Elon was like.なんかその BBC の人を詰めてるところは見た。
Yeah, I mean, to me it was just I don't think the interviewer is like necessarily an evil person or anything, but
no,
it just shows what's wrong with mainstream media and.Having journalists that are like totally in a bubble, you know, where it's like their line of questioning is like absurd, and has this like narrative built into it. They actually took down the interview, BBC themselves, and like,
okay,
yeah, they removed it, the full interview, and they have their like edited version and their.It's just so, it's just annoying.
I mean, I know that Elon would feel very defensive, and I understand that Elon is very upset and angry with the media, but then it feels like it doesn't help that people are like outside sort of like gloat and, you know, like attack the interviewer or, you know, just this like...big divide between you know なんか自分対大手メディアそれこそマスゴミみたいなさなんかそれはそれでなんていうか中で働いてる人ももちろん課題はいっぱいあるんだけどその evil intention 持ってる人の方が数で言ったら少ないはずだし
Right. I mean the way he conducted the interview wasas if he had bad intentions. You know, I don't know what his intentions actually were, but, you know, there's like, it's very obvious that...
Yeah, I mean, he wanted to bring out this issue that he thought, you know, was an issue, and he wanted to bring it up, but he did it in a very poor way.
Well, it was the like, whole interview just, was a string yeah, of but, the same kind yeah, of fake...
Just like the amount of people who were, like, attacking him and...like gloating and, you know, saying things like, oh, he's totally incompetent, like all kinds of, you know, wadaguchi.
Well, he's totally incompetent is, I think, a fair assessment of the interview. Like, he clearly didn't do any research or anything, right?
Yeah, but I think he felt it. If he felt that himself too during the interview.
I think the things people said that were, you know, unnecessarily well beyond saying that he's incompetent, you know, is inappropriate, right? But to say that he's incompetent, I think that that's totally fair criticism.
Right, but I mean, I guess, like, the impression that I got, this, like, swarm of people just... Making fun of him, Diego, just attacking him. It just felt like it's not really gonna help, because then people working for the media would just think that, oh, these are just Elon, like it's like a cult and they're attacking us now, and it's never gonna be resolved.
Well, I think if they didn't take the video down and they didn't release their, like, sneaky edit version to try to make it look different, then the reaction would have been much milder, you know? But when you're state-funded to some degree...
Well, I saw the reaction right after the interview came out, though. And then people were, like, super mean.
I'm sure people
were. I understand the sentiment, and I understand how Elon will react, you know? But then all the rest of the people who are just watching this, it felt like...
Well, I don't think Elon was that angry or anything. You know, he just said, like, that's absurd.
No, but he was, like, 結構詰めてたじゃん。だから、それは別に自然というか、本人がそうやって言われてるから、まあ、そうやってリアクションするのは自然なことだと思うんだけど。
Well, I think people...
周りがすごすぎる、ちょっと。
Well, I didn't really pay too much... I mean, the internet is always going to have...
Well, at least that's what... Twitter was pushing me. So I saw all of that, and then I felt like
the interviewer is a bit of a muppet, unfortunately. It's still a great interview, I thought.
It's just how people gloat, and
well,
I don't know. It's just not really healthy.
Well, I don't know about the internet reaction. I mean, I think trying to, you know, I think the way that BBC handled it was not good. Also, I mean, even after the interview had happened, but, you know, they're expecting sort of this controlled interview, right? Where, you know, because Elon asked him a few questions and, you know, he was trying to say, like, oh, you know, I'm the one interviewing, kind of thing. And but because Elon had started streaming it live at the last second, and the journalist wasn't really expecting that, so it was sort of an unusual situation, you know, for this kind of interview to happen in a more transparent way.
Well, like, yeah, you know, I guess, you know, it's getting kind of weird.
The polarization around.
Yeah, like a cult, you know.
What's the cult?
Well, just there are people that defend Elon no matter what, and then they get really upset for something and they'll attack people and.
Right. And it's been perceived that there's, you know, sort of a cult against Elon for, you know, a political cult against Elon for some time also, or sort of this derangement syndrome type of reaction to anything Elon.
The people that are directly involved, like them arguing with each other, that's fine, but like, so supporters 同士がすごいやり合うみたいな。Then it gets super divided.
Are you on a side?
Do you
feel like you're on a side?
I'm avoiding the おすすめ feed, though, just for that.
You're calling it a cult, though, or saying that it's seen as a cult, right?
No, I mean, that it happens for anybody. It happens for BTS. It happens for anybody, right? And then sometimes it doesn't help the 中心人物 when, like, these super defenders show up and they just attack everybody for the sake of the 中心人物. And
yeah, well, I don't think people should focus on, like, the most extreme supporters of BTS and sort of characterize their following based on that, or for any other group, you know? So, like, to focus on the extreme, like, tail end of any supporting group, you know, can also be misleading too.
Yeah, so the problem is that these people have the loudest voice, and then algorithm like Twitter would just push that the most. So it looks like they're the majority, or it looks like that's the, you know, 中央集 or something. So,
well, I don't know what other people's feeds look like.
So then, like, it affects the perception of Elon by 一般人 too, right? So in the end, that's not really helping Elon too. So that's how I feel, like.
So what did you think about the interviewer or the interview?
I just saw these two parts where, like, Elon was submitted. So I didn't know how the interview was a good one or a bad one or productive or what. I don't know.
I see. Well, I saw the whole interview and I thought, I don't know, mainstream media's lame was basically my thought. I wasn't attacking this guy online or anything. But
right. Yeah.
What do you think of the subscriptions thing that's shown up on Twitter?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't really looked into it. I'm trying to stay away from Twitter as much as I can.
Why?
Or Instagram, any kind of social media. Because やっぱ social media usage もずっと言ってるけど、 social media usage、 その時間が長くなればなるほど自分のストレス度が勝手に上がってんのよ、知らない間に。Like, I start reading articles about this, like, swimming class in Japan where, you know, this 3-year-old got molested. All kinds of things, you know? And I just get really, really stressed out. Without realizing that it's really stressing me out or triggering. So, I don't read news about Twitter. I don't... I tried to... I don't read anything about Elon usually, unless it's like super pushed and it's 勝手に入ってくる。
People need to chill about Elon. It's just ridiculous. People are getting all twisted up. It's crazy. I don't understand what the whole divisive craziness is about.
It's like really peaceful if I don't read about it.
Apparently there's a new scale, Taijuke, that will hide your weight.
どういうこと?
The scale doesn't show you how much you weigh.
Okay. What does it tell you then?
It tracks your weight, though.
Ah, そういうこと?
So you get on the scale every day, but it doesn't actually show you how much you weigh when you get on the scale.
Okay.
But it tracks it so you can... I guess you can check with the app later. But some people, they don't want to see the number. But they still are supposed to weigh themselves, right?
Yeah.
So the idea is that people can weigh themselves consistently without having to see that the number went up, for example, right? Because that's like the stressful part. And also... Yeah. Your weight may fluctuate day to day based on, like, water retention, you know, sodium, whatever.
Yeah.
Other things. things other than like gaining or losing body fat, which tends to show up more after like 3-4 days, right?
Yeah.
So it may be better to weigh yourself every day, but only actually check your weight once a week, something like that.
Right, right.
I don't know.
そうだよね。なんかファットマッスルの比率とかそういうバランスとかだけ見てくれればいいもんね。むしろなんならその体重、体の重さは別に知らなくてもいいっていうか、あの健康のためなら。
Well, it's also the frequency. Like it, you're not getting good data if you're checking every day, because the trend over the span of 3-4 days is what's accurate, not just like the day to day.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I thought that was interesting, because I would like scale that doesn't show how much you weigh. Like that's insane. But then there is actually an explanation where it might make sense. I don't know. I haven't tried it, so.
確かに。いや、学校とかでそれも教えてほしかったなって思った。若い時なんか高校生の時とかに体重気になるから体重計めっちゃ乗るけど、その生理の前とかになると急に2キロとか増えてる時あるわけじゃん、もう水で水分で、
mm-hmm.
だけどそれ若い時なんか水分って思わないじゃん、なんか体重増えたらもうイコール太ったみたいな、
mm-hmm.
イコール脂肪が増えたって思っちゃって、あやばい、なんか1日でこんな太ったみたいな、そんなわけないんだけど、なんかそういうイリュージョンがあってさ、その数字に振り回されるみたいな、
yeah.
のがあったから、
Yeah, it's counterproductive information, I guess.
Yeah. 特に若い子とかあったらね、なんか骨の重さとかさ、筋肉の量とか、
mm-hmm.
同じ体重って言っても見た目も全然違うし、
mm-hmm.
それになんか BMI とか指数みたいなところに振り回されすぎない方がいいもんね。
Did you see Dinosaur Scissor Hands?
No.
You should look it up right now so you can see this new dinosaur. Actually, I don't know if the dinosaur is new or just the hands are new.
Edward Scissorhands Dinosaur.
Edward
Scissorhands on Speed って書いてある。
What? Wait, did you find...
I see a picture.
You didn't find the dinosaur? What was it called?
I just see the article, but I don't see the picture. I'm kind of scared of opening these articles because sometimes it gives me... Oh, it doesn't...
Do you see it now?
Yeah. Oh.
I don't know how they reached this conclusion, but they think that this dinosaur evolved these very long claws on its hands.
Looks kind of unflattering.
But isn't that something
no offense.
Like, it's interesting. We keep coming across like some dinosaur with some peculiar characteristic.
Yeah, but he has short arms.
Yeah.
Like, how do you use it? あ、しかも日本でも見つかってんだ。日本にも住んでたんだって。
Is the dinosaur new or the hands are new? Can you?
I don't think it's new. The fossils have been found throughout Asia as well as in North America.
So the hands are new?
Or... Two more suspected ones were previously discovered in
Japan. Wait, what's the official name?
Wait, I lost it. Dinosaur. So it's herbivore. Oh, じゃあ何のためこれ? Weapons.
Defensive weapon?
The fossil is named Paralitherizinosaurus japonicus.
Wait, can you say that?
The species name honors Japan where the specimen was unearthed.
Oh. Can you say it one more time, the name?
でも違うわ。これ newly described species. It was stored in the collections at the Nakagawa Museum of Natural History in Hokkaido, Japan. It was discovered in 2008. At the time of its discovery, they said it was believed to belong to a theridzinosaur. Though due to a lack of comparative data at the time, the original researchers were unable to draw any definitive conclusions. However, new data from many other fossils that were discovered and described in the years since have helped with classifying the fossil. The fossil is just under 10 centimeters in length, 80 to 82 million years ago. Therizinosaur. I don't know how to pronounce this.
There's no little speaker button that will say it. Okay. No. They should always have those for the new dinosaur names.
ね、読み方が分かんないよね。あの、うちのさ、子供のやつ、ナショナルジオグラフィックからのやつは、あの、読み方が書いてあるの、その発音の仕方が全部書いてあるから、right. I have to read that. あ、ここにあるボタン。
What?
泣き声だった。え？
泣き声？
嘘でしょ？
分かんないでしょ。鳴き声
のでもそのえでもねちょっと待って Google にそのTheridzinosaurって入れて検索ボタンを押したら、yeah. その恐竜の名前と写真が出てきて一番上にそこにこの音のマークがついてるのねそれを今押したんだよ、yeah. 発音かと思ってそしたら鳴き声なんだけど
<Why?
笑>えどういうことどういうこと
What?
何の鳴き声?
It doesn't say that it's 鳴き声 there.
何にも書いてない。ただその名前の横にこのスピーカーのマークついてるから。
Maybe that's how you pronounce it.
No way. あ、あった。これ。Therizinosaurus.
Therizinosaurus?
Therizinosaurus.
Therizino?
Mm.
Hmm. What does that mean? Is that like Latin? Or Greek or something? Does it... What does that mean?
Derived from the Greek in reference to the enormous manual unguals. What is that?
Must mean Ungual. The fingers.
Latin...Nails.
A
highly modified distal toe bone, which ends in a hoof, claw, or nail.
Toe bone. So it's not on the... are those hands? Do you call those hands or feet? Hands, right?
Ungual. Paws. 初めて聞いた。
What do you call dinosaur hands?Hands?
Hands. Four, yeah. Forearms?
Well, that's a different part. There's hands after the forearms, right?
Right. Paws? I don't know.
Is it paws? Don't think so.
Actually, paws って lizards とかには使わないもんね、鳥とか。
Yeah, and for dinosaurs that move upright, and I think most did.
Lizard は hands だって。We don't call... みんな聞いて、do lizards have paws or hands?
But lizards are different, right? Lizards are close to like alligators or dimetrodon.
Yeah, but then, like, birds don't have hands, so that can't be the reference, right? But then paws are usually used for fluffy Animals, no?
Meet Cute.
Yeah. 違う?
I think so. So dogs then, have paws, cats have paws.
The only reference would be lizards. And they have hands, so...
So dinosaurs have hands.
The definition of a paw is the foot of an animal that has claws or nails. Huh.
What about a bear? A bear has paws?
Paws, yeah.
I guess so.
An animal's foot that has nails or claws.
But we're calling it a foot.
Yeah. Bears?
So if a bear punches you...
Hands. Yeah.
But you said a paw is on a foot. If a paw is on a foot, then if a bear punches you, it's kicking you, right?
Yeah.
It's kicking you with its front paws.
Right.
But...
Oh, yeah. So bears don't have... No, but then we... Well, I guess bears are tricky, right? Because they stand.
Yeah, and they grab like stuff, cats and, like honey.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a bit tricky. They're like the exception.
Well, it's tricky, but...
Like, we call it paws, but then they have hands.
Is it hands?
We think of them as hands, right? Because they stand up.
So when it's standing, it's hands. And when it's on the ground, it's feet. Or that doesn't work either.
Yeah, yeah.
There has to be an official, you know, some sort of
yeah,
biologist's answer.
Yeah, 決まってるのは絶対あるはずだけど。
But yeah, I don't remember if dinosaurs have hands or not.
普通の会話ではどっちも使うもんね。だって猫の前足って言うけどさ、犬にお手とか言うじゃん。それはもう前足は手として認識してるわけじゃん。お手で拭きますよとか言うじゃん。
お足
そう
言わないね。
うん、前足はもう 手として勝手に。
Yeah, but that's like the least technical context.
I know, I know. そうだからパーとかそういう言葉を使うときにさ。
Yeah, cats don't have hands.
No. No.We don't think of them as hands, right?、
Mm.
Anyway,、文字起こしのテキストと各エピソードごとの宿題はバイリンガルニュース公式アプリをチェックしてみてください。なんだっけ、文字起こしのテキストと、英語表現解説エッセイ読み放題になる月額240円の、プランと宿題月額360円のプランどっちもあるのでぜひやってみてください。冒頭でお伝えした通り、バイリンガルニュース .jp 公式サイトで新商品追加されています。猫星人シミュレーション T シャツめっちゃかっこいいやつ、ぜひチェックしてみてください。あとサイト上で参加できる、BN メンバーシップメンバーの皆さんありがとうございます。皆さんのサポートによって番組が継続できています。本当にありがとうございます。Twitter、Instagram、Facebook やってるのでそちらもフォローお願いします。
お願いします。以上です。
バイ。
Bye.